Pat's Waller once again, a recording of Smashing Thirds. Joining me in the studio now on Fresh Air is Mark Allen, who is apparently the first American in generations to design and build a concert grand piano without the backing of a large corporation, without the assistance of a large staff. The Mark Allen piano is literally built by Mark Allen, completely. To build a piano requires precision carpentry skills and a musical vision. Mark Allen has tried to combine in his piano, he says, the brilliance found in the tone of a Steinway and the more warm vocal qualities of European pianos. The tone he tries to achieve on his pianos is modeled from the voice of singer Kathleen Ferrier. Mark has brought with him a demonstration tape this afternoon so that we will be hearing her voice and the voicing of his piano as heard when played by jazz and classical pianists. Many well-known pianists have praised Mark Allen's piano, Andre Watts, Paul Badura Skoda, Chick Corea. In a recent issue of Contemporary Keyboard magazine, Chick Corea was quoted as saying, quote, "When I played the Mark Allen piano, I was blown away, with all deference to the real creativity and stability and consistency of companies like Steinway and Bösendorfer, the Mark Allen piano made them seem like toys." Unquote. Mark Allen lives and works in Philadelphia. Welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Before we hear one of the many recordings that you've brought with you this afternoon, Mark, I'd really like to ask you why you began building pianos, because it's easy to think that it would be presumptuous for an individual to think that single-handedly they could do something better than what Steinway or Bösendorfer has done and done well for so long.
Yes, I guess it might be a little bit of vanity in making your own piano, but actually I feel it's only confidence in what I believe in, and I believed that the piano should ultimately be is very much like the human voice. I've always listened to find a voice in pianos when I worked on them in the past, when I tuned them, when I serviced them, when I rebuilt them. And over a long period of time of being a rebuilder and restorer of pianos, I evolved my ideas of how I wanted to build my own piano. I would make experiments every time I rebuilt a piano with the idea that if I couldn't make it better than the original piano maker made it, what was the point of restoring it? Now, that in itself is a presumption, but I believed I could do it. And after a number of experiments, I decided to start my own in 1970. It took me about 2 years to get it finished because it was a prototype, and I had to work out many problems and build special machinery to make it become a reality. And so the prototype was finished in 1972.
Okay, we'll pick up from there in a few minutes, but first let's hear a sample recording of a piece played by Ward Marston on the Mark Allen piano. And this is a recording of Perdido. It's played by Ward Marston, whose name you might associate with WUHY from 1973 to 1974. Ward produced a program called Stokowski, the Philadelphia Years. Well, this is his recording of Perdido, which was played on the Mark Allen piano. Thank you. Marston at the piano, recording of Perdido, and that was recorded on the Mark Allen piano, a concert grand piano built by my guest Mark Allen, who, by the way, lives in Philadelphia. Mark, how would you describe the tone that we just heard in comparison with most other available concert pianos? What in the tone have you been trying to achieve?
All right, well, many people listening probably have very keen ears. They've listened to piano records for years, and they've been to live concerts and listened to pianos. And what all of these listeners should bear in mind as we continue to play pieces on my piano is that almost every piece was recorded under less than ideal acoustical circumstances. The true sound of the Mark Allen piano, what it's really all about, is really not in what we just heard because of the small room it was recorded in. Some of the pieces we're going to play a little bit later will be done in a much bigger environment, and the spaciousness of the piano will come out. The only thing I can say that is important is to just play something else that follows, because they get a little better.
Okay, well, we're going to, in a minute or so, hear a recording by Don Kawash, who's frequently been a guest here on Fresh Air, and he'll be playing a different kind of piece, Gottschalk's The Banjo. Now, when Don was here last, I forget when it was, but he played a recording of him playing, I think it was the banjo, on your piano, and he called it the Mark Allen piano.
Yes.
And it didn't dawn on me that it was the one and only Mark Allen piano in the sense that that's the only one there is.
The prototype is all that exists right now. I'm beginning to build two pianos this year, one for Chick Corea, and I'll build another one for a classical pianist named Cyprian Katsiris. He records on the EMI label. He's an astounding young 26-year-old pianist who will be debuted in America with half a dozen orchestras, I think, this coming year.
Why has there only been one since this one was built?
Well, the piano had to be proven. You understand, if you tell someone that you built a concert grand, they could pretty much be disbelieving. And it's always been just an accomplishment to get someone to stop what they're doing to come and try the piano out. The piano was taken to some music schools, Newt Niling Conservatory in Boston, for instance, the Juilliard School. And faculties there and visiting pianists would try the piano out. And so over a period of time, as people began to try the piano out, what it really was became realized. In each case, the people of really good backgrounds and real importance who did see the piano, they were just about dragged to see the piano, because if you would tell them about it, they would say, well, who could have done it? You know, we don't believe it happened. And it's for that reason that very important and accomplished pianists who live right in this very area have not seen the piano. They know about it, but I'm sure they disbelieve us too.
How do you react to that? I imagine you don't take that very well.
Well, that's what I expect. And when I started to promote the piano, I knew that getting it received would be the most difficult part, even more difficult than building it. Now, technicians and technologists have been able to examine the piano, and they have given it their highest praises. A man named Frank Hansen in the Boston area, who was with the Steinway Company for 30 years, one of their chief technicians, not from the factory directly, but with the Boston outlet. He came down to Philadelphia after hearing about the piano. I knew when he came he was my most severe critic. And he spent 2 days with me listening to the piano and asking many questions about how it was built. And he's a Yankee. He doesn't talk much. The man is a very good pianist, but in the whole time he wouldn't let me know that. He would have me play the piano for him, and I'm not that great. And that was a pretty good pianist with us, so he was able to hear it played well. And so he was getting in his car and leaving and going back to Boston. He still hadn't said much about the piano in terms of me really knowing what he thought. So I said, Frank, you're leaving now. What do you have to say? And he just turned to me and he said, Mark, your piano is incomparable. And for me, that was the finest compliment I could have gotten from somebody with the background he had. And he went on to tell many people about the piano. And people like Chick Corea have seen the piano, because of Frank Hansen's help. There have been people behind the scenes who made it possible for this piano to get exposed. Later on, we're going to play a record cut performed by Lois Shapiro. And this is a recording made by the Mark Levinson Acoustic Recording Outfit in Hamden, Connecticut. And that is a state-of-the-art recording. When we get that little cut on the air, people will really be hearing what the piano is, because that is the state-of-the-art recording of the concert grand.
Well, what we're going to hear now is Philadelphia-based pianist Don Kaywash's playing of Gottschalk's The Banjo on your piano. Is there something you think that we should be listening for as this piece is playing?
Yes, I recorded this myself in my own shop. I have pretty good recording equipment, and I feel that it is a fairly beautiful example of what the piano really does sound like. I asked Don to record this piece because I love my whole piano, but I'm really have a special penchant for the bass. The treble sings with a sustaining power that has not been achieved by other piano makers. There is a brilliance along with color in the treble. And this piece does both. It gives you the brilliance in the treble, and it also brings out the power of the bass. So let's people hear it.
Okay, this is Don Kaywash playing the banjo on the Mark Allen piano.
Thank you.
Don Kaywash's recording of Gottschalk's The Banjo, and that was played on the Mark Allen piano, a concert grand piano built by my guest, Mark Allen. You are obviously, Mark, very passionately obsessed with the tone, the voicing, sound of a piano. And, like, from what direction did you get that passion? From playing piano? From kind of abstract relationship with sound and acoustics? You know, from your work tuning piano and then repairing pianos?
Well, I did study piano for a few years, quite a while back, about 15 years ago. And I think that's essential to anyone who wants to be masterful on working on pianos. They must play on the piano, play well, in fact. Actually, it's my love of the human voice and the vocal literature, art songs, opera, some of the nicer folk songs that we know about, that have made me feel that the piano, the ideal piano, would be a voice itself. Not just voicing from the felt conditioning or string tensions or other mechanical factors, but beyond mechanical voicing, that the piano in its heart and soul would embody a voice. And the best way I can explain what I mean of that is what I think makes something acoustically superior, whether it's a musical instrument or another person as a voice. You know, when a newborn baby is born with very tiny little lungs and very short little vocal cords, God Almighty ordained that the cry of a baby can be heard for an incredible distance. The reason being because that sound contains a seed, an acoustical seed, a germ, a kernel. And that is what makes some acoustical phenomena a success. If a voice, whether on the opera stage or in any musical situation, contains this seed, it is acoustically superior. Now, I'm talking about something that's very abstract. But another consideration I have found in listening and being a lover of music is that the aesthetic superiority of a given voice is concomitant with its acoustical superiority. They happen simultaneously. And it's that understanding that made me go into building my own piano. And having a background in Buddhism, I've studied the Lotus Sutra very seriously. And in the Lotus Sutra, it teaches that the universe is based upon sound vibrations, that all matter and all the spiritual beings are of sound vibrations in their origin. It's funny, we all listen to music. We know that every human emotion and mood can be affected by music, from making love to making war and everything in between. So it really is not too metaphysical, really, to say that the whole universe is based upon sound vibrations. And I happen to believe it. And I was tempted to bring this belief into a reality in building my concert grand. And the voice of Kathleen Furrier is a very famous English contralto who died in 1953. Incidentally, she died on my birthday, which is October 8th, 1953. And it was her voice that I modeled my piano from, or tried to achieve in my piano, was her voice. And I said that to people when I was building the piano, close acquaintances of mine, that this was my hope. And since the piano has been used in a number of situations, in recitals and in recordings, people who know her voice well instantly recognize that spirit in my piano. And I guess we could do something for people just by playing something that Kathleen Furrier did herself, one song, one English folk song. And then we can follow up with a Debussy piece played by local pianist Charles Kanjamie.
Okay, let's do that. My lover to
And I hurried down to the deep rolling sea. But my eye could not see it, wherever might be it, the bark that is bearing my lover to me. Blow the wind southerly, southerly, southerly. Blow, bonny breeze, o'er the bonny blue sea. Blow the wind southerly, southerly, southerly. Blow, bonny breeze, and bring him to me. Is it not sweet to hear the breeze singing, as lightly it comes o'er the deep rolling sea? But sweeter and dearer by far 'tis when bringing the bark of my true love in safety.
The voice of Kathleen Ferrier, whose voice was the inspiration and the model for Mark Allen's piano, will now hear played on his piano Debussy's The Sunken Cathedral, played by Charles Ganjami.
Thank you.
Charles Ganjami played Debussy's Sunken Cathedral on the Mark Allen piano. Another piece we're going to hear now played on the Mark Allen piano. This will be played by Siegfried Katsiris, who is a French pianist who will be premiered in the States in the near future. Mark Allen is presently building a piano, a concert grand for Mr. Katsiris. We're going to hear him playing one of Mozart's themes, one which you'll recognize as being also the theme from Elvira Madigan.
Thank you.
We've heard pianist Cyprian Katsiris playing on the Mark Allen Concert Grand Piano. Mark is in the process of building a concert grand for Mr. Katsiris, and he's also in the process of building one for Chick Corea. Mark Allen is my guest in the studio. He has made the prototype concert grand, which we've been hearing some performance on, and is in the process of making others, and in the near future we'll be building 7- and 6-foot pianos. Again, Mark Allen works in the Philadelphia area. Well, Mark, before we listen to the last few pieces that we heard recorded on your piano, you were talking a bit about your attitude towards acoustics and how sound and music affects the most passionate things that happen in the world, love, war. What about the technical aspects of your piano? What do you think the technical innovations are?
Well, no one person in the world ever built a piano or invented a piano all by himself. All every piano maker did was look at what was done before, see what had worked successfully before him, and went beyond that in his own way. And that's what I did. I had the advantage of looking at a couple hundred years of piano making and saw what had been worked, what had acoustically proven itself, and what had mechanically failed. And building my own piano, I did make some sounding board innovations in the ribbing of the piano. The sounding board being about 3/8 of an inch thick is supported underneath with cross ribbing. And I changed the way that this ribbing is done. Technologists who look at my piano realize that something very different has been done. And I also changed the traditional way of what we call scale designing. Most pianos are even tension scales. From the top note to the bottom of the piano, they are about 150 pounds pull on each string. I made a gradation in tension from the treble note to the bass notes, gradually gradating the tension from about increasing the tension about 15% to 20% by the time it reached the bottom of the piano. And this is a uniqueness in my own scale designing and creates the balance between the registers. And so actually any fine piano making brings technology out to the nth degree. There is a great deal of technology in what the modern piano is, and craftsmanship, certainly, to make a fine piano.
Do you have to not only patent, but hide, in a way, some of the designs that you've came up with? Are you, you know, worried about someone from another company, for instance, seeing some of the aspects of your design and trying to incorporate it into their own pianos?
Well, actually, if someone wanted to put a tape measure on my piano and use micrometers to determine all these fine little technological points, they could improve their own piano making. And I'm not too concerned about that because I hope they do improve their own piano making. Many people making pianos today need to make a better product. However, what really we're talking about and leading up to is what really is the X factor in making a superb piano. My approach to this is love. I really believe that if one loves the effect one will get from building a good piano, what effect it will have on people who listen to the piano, that a personal magnetism, a life force from oneself can go into the wood he's working with. And I built my prototype with love. Love for what it would do to people when they performed on it. And I've often reminded myself when building what effect Kathleen Ferrier had upon me when I wanted some upliftment in life. And it's been true that people who play my piano tell me that playing my piano changes them. They become better musicians. And they, you know, get into a higher level of realizing their own musicality and their own selves playing my piano.
I have obviously never built a piano, and I've had actually very little mechanical or woodworking experiences, but the few times I have, I've met with all kinds of frustrations. You know, you undo a bolt on the car and suddenly you strip it, mm-hmm. and, you know, the simplest thing suddenly becomes really complicated. And no matter what my intentions were when starting out about how I was going to, like, really communicate with my car and, you know, do it myself, the good intentions turn to, like, frustrations at some point, which just kind of, like, somewhat sour the experience. Has anything like that happened to you when you were working on your prototype, because it was such an intense, compacted period of time that you worked probably half the time without sleeping, I'm sure, you know, on the piano. But, you know, you're talking about all the love that went into it. I mean, I'm sure, you know, in periods of intensity like that, there's so much mixed emotion, right. I found in myself, you know, that goes into something.
Well, we all had different abilities, and I'd probably be pretty clumsy at what you do. And what I do is natural for me to do it, and I'm functioning in a very happy way to do what I do. And cabinet making of the highest order is required in piano making. And what brings me to make a better and better piano is that every time I build a piano, I tell myself, or when I even restore a piano, putting my sounding board in a new piano I'm restoring, I tell myself, look, this is the only chance in my life I'm going to get to rebuild this piano. So I'm not going to muff it. I'm going to love it. And that's why I never let myself cut corners. I look at each project as a unique experience.
How much time do you have for each one? Because to give any task that kind of attention, you have to, I think, maybe not have a very quick deadline, because otherwise time and speed becomes sometimes more important than care and attention.
Well, I don't let people rush me. I tell them that when they start a project with me. I'll give them a time frame that, yes, the piano will be completed in a certain time gap, but other than that, I will not make a delivery date, because I will not put myself in that position.
There are two people now who have asked you to build pianos. Mm-hmm. Cyprian Katsaris and Chick Corea, have either of them made any kind of stipulations, or not stipulations, but suggestions for, like, little touches that they want on their own, you know, something personalized on their own piano?
Not really. Each of them found the prototype to be all they could ask for, and they just asked me to build them pianos like the prototype. And I expect to have these finished by the spring of next year, and next year we'll start building 7-foot models, which would be something that a lot of people could have, because I can only build concert grands for a real professional. Only a real pro knows what to do with this concert grand. In fact, I have found that an index to what reaction a person will have when trying my piano out is simply that the greater the pianist is, the greater his reaction to the piano is going to be. And the piano has so proven itself that I'm pretty well determined that when someone comes to try out Mark Allen Concert Grand, they're on the spot, not the piano. Because the piano has so many resources in it and so many coloristic effects that unless you really, really are a truly accomplished pianist, you're never even going to reach the plateau that this piano was meant to perform on.
Do you play on your piano?
I'm only an amateur pianist. I never have the time to keep my technique going, and I humbly decline performing for people.
You've taken your piano to a few places. For instance, there was a joint concert done by Chick Corea and Herbie Hancock, and they both played on your piano for that performance, which was back in February of this year. How do you move it? I mean, you know, everyone who's moved a piano knows that it's kind of risky experience. I imagine that there's all kinds of precautions you take with your piano before doing that.
Well, I move the piano myself. I don't let anyone bother with it. I have too much invested in it. But professional movers, give me extra manpower, but I supervise all moving of my custom-built piano.
Your piano was built by you and you alone. Hmm. Now, to expand your operation would mean to enlarge it, to work with more of a staff. Do you have a sense of, like, how big you'd want yourself to get if given the option?
Yes, I have intentions of building 6 concert grands a year, with a couple of assistants, a cabinet maker and another technician. I have some people working close to me that I'm trying to accomplish this with, and I'm sure that we will build 6 pianos a year. And I'm training other craftsmen over the next few years and putting our personnel together to build the 7-foot and 6-foot pianos. And I know that it can be accomplished.
Okay, we're going to hear another recording by Kathleen Ferrier, the woman whose voice is the inspiration and model for Mark Allen's piano. And then after that, we're going to hear a recording by pianist Lois Shapiro, who, after playing on his piano, wrote a letter which has a line here that I'd like to read. In some uncanny way, Mr. Allen has succeeded to a great extent in designing an inanimate object which houses a musical soul, an almost human voice that seems to lie dormant within until summoned forth, written by Lois Shapiro, which is not unlike the way you were describing the sense of the piano really having a voice, not just a voicing, but a voice of its own. So we will hear now the voice of Kathleen Ferrier, followed by the piano playing of Lois Shapiro, who will be playing on the Mark Allen piano. Are there any comments you'd like to make before we hear these recordings, Mark?
No, I think both recordings speak for themselves, and I feel that people will hear a connection between Ms. Ferrier's voice and my piano.
Oh, where have you been all the day, my boy Willie? Oh, where have you been all the day, Willie? Won't you tell me now? I've been all the day a-courting of a lady gay, but she is too young to be taken from her mammy. Oh, can she brew and can she bake, my boy Willie? Oh, can she brew and can she bake, Willie? Won't you tell me now? She can brew and she can bake and she can make a wedding cake, but she is too young to be taken from her mammy. Oh, can she knit and can she spin, my boy Willie? Oh, can she knit and can she spin, Willie? Won't you tell me now? She can knit and she can spin and she can do most anything, but she is too young to be taken from her mammy. Oh, how old is she now, my boy Willie? Oh, how old is she now, Willie? Won't you tell me now? Twice 6, twice 7, twice 20 and 11. But she is too young to be taken from her mammy.
We've just heard Lois Shapiro playing a passage from Maurice Ravel's Noble and Sentimental Waltzes. She was playing on the Mark Allen Concert Grand Piano. Mark Allen has been my guest this afternoon here on Fresh Air. The recording that we just heard is from an album called the Mark Levinson Acoustic Recording Series, and it's volume 2. It's meant to be a state of the art, both the art of piano and the art of pianos recording. Well, Mark Allen, I want to thank you very much for being here this afternoon on Fresh Air and for sharing your thoughts and the sounds of your piano with us this afternoon. It's been most interesting, and I wish you the best.
Thank you. I enjoyed being here.
Thank you. This is Fresh Air, and you're listening to WUHY-FM in Philadelphia. In just a few minutes on Fresh Air, we're going to be joined by Stephen Kemper, who has recently returned from the International Tchaikovsky Competition in the Soviet Union, where he won a prize for his piano performance of the piece that was commissioned for the event. Right now, we're going to hear again from Ward Marston, again playing on the Mark Allen piano. This is his recording of Bess, You Is My Woman Now.